Blog Talk Radio.
Day 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, for an hour of positive reinforcement on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Maggie.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you are. This is Maggie Holbeck of Crystal Clear Coaching, and I'm so happy to be here with Greater Good Ministries and Blog Talk Radio today. Apologize for the little glitch in the intro. We're still having technical difficulties with this Mercury in retrograde, and I know a lot of people are experiencing that. But nonetheless, we're here, we're present, we're looking forward to a great show today. And I have for my guest today, Janet Doerr. And Janet is the intuitive nutritionista. So she's an amazing lady. We've had her on for the last couple of shows because we've been so excited by her work that we've been featuring her, and she's helping so many people with her intuitive reading. So I'm here with a nice cup of ginger lime tea, and I'm ready to get started. We're going to bring Janet on in a minute. And a shout-out to the International House of Tea in Thunder Bay, where I've got this lovely tea that I will be enjoying today while we have our session. So, Janet, are you with me?
Good morning, I am. Or good afternoon for other listeners, yeah.
Yes, for me it's afternoon, and for you it's morning. I think we're, what, 2 hours different?
Three, so it's 9 o'clock Pacific time.
Oh, okay, so it really is morning for you. Awesome. Well, welcome again, Janet. For those that don't know Janet, she's you can research her at the Intuitive Nutritionista. She does have her, an email address. I'll throw that out there now so that you can jot it down. It's info@theintuitivenutritionista.com. So if you do think of any questions or you'd like a reading with Janet, you feel free to email her at that address. Janet, let's talk a little bit about your background, how you came into your gifts, just for the listeners that haven't heard on the previous shows. This show is geared more to healthy children, and you and I both have a passion for everyone's health, but children are so, so important. But let's talk a little bit about you and how you came into these marvelous gifts.
Thank you. And I'll just, you've got Nutritionista stuck in your brain, but my title or brand that I'm going with is the Intuitive Nutritionista, for the word nutritionist, but I am not, I'll put that disclaimer out here now, I am not a registered dietitian, I am not a licensed healthcare provider, so as we talk through things today, and as I provide readings for any lucky callers for their children, keep in mind that my gift is intuitive, and so I'm just going to be showing you and talking about what I see in your energy field that your body tells me to tell you. And it's not nutrition advice, it's intuitive information and generally acquired nutrition knowledge that I've gained, as anybody can gain by doing their own self-study. So a little bit back to my history, I was born in Oakland, California, in the USA, and was very interested in the helping professions, ended up getting a master's degree in community development, married the love of my life, who was a Canadian, and we moved to Canada. So you hail from Thunder Bay, Ontario. We spent, as a family, some 21 years up in Canada and had our two kids there. I did international management training and consulting. I got very, very interested in how people could communicate in the workplace more effectively, how managers could communicate more effectively in giving performance feedback. And so I did independent consulting, and then I joined major corporations for a good chunk of my working career. I joined BCTEL, the telecommunications company, and worked my way up through there through progressively more responsible jobs, ending up managing the company's real estate assets and all of its properties. And then I left BCTEL in the merger between BCTEL and the Alberta Telephone Company, and we wanted a way back to the United States. Oregon was calling to us. So we left our jobs there and brought the kids down here when they were in grade 8 and grade 10, respectively, and they continued on with their middle school and high school here. And then I carried on with a corporate career, and by this point I had moved to finance leadership roles. So I ended up doing about 10 years in two major publicly traded companies as a very senior financial management, ending up in my last position reporting to the CFO of a high-tech company selling microscopes that look at things at the atomic scale. Very fascinating technological business. I worked with some of the most brilliant people on the planet. It was just such a joy to work there with those folks. But my soul called me. I kept feeling like in the last couple years that I was working there, it was like, you know, I'm not making the difference. I'm not really being given the level of responsibilities, despite the fact that I had 22 people reporting to me. I didn't feel like I had the level of responsibility or impact on the world that I was capable of. So I left in a reorganization where my job no longer really called to me, asked for a solution or a path out, and received a path out. And then my soul really got my attention. I had a hip replacement at age 54. I had a second one pending, and I started saying, what else is possible? Recalled that I had healed some conditions in my life in past, and called upon that remembrance of just, you know, being an infinite being and reinvoking, reminding myself of the healing power of the human body and the human spirit. And in the process, I completely healed my second hip, so I did not require a second hip replacement. I will not be getting any more bionic titanium hips. I'm now strong. I've lost 35 pounds, got extremely healthy, and now have pursued my passion of supporting myself and supporting others in improving their health. And in the process, I learned to listen to myself and my own intuition to both receive dietary input, but also natural health healing solutions for all manner of different conditions. And I started to realize that I was hearing guidance. So, and then I would see things. So I'm both clairaudient, meaning I hear information, clairsentient, meaning I just know things, I just suddenly get a knowing, and I'm clairvoyant, and I can see. So I have the ability to just tune into another person's energy, and I just start receiving a download of the foods that they need to eat to bring their body into harmony, nutrients they're lacking, and knowings of interesting things about them, subconscious belief patterns that may be impacting their getting healthy, and underlying health conditions that people may be experiencing. So I now use this gift. People come to me for readings. I only need their name, and I just tune into their energy. I prefer actually not to know anything about what they're struggling with or their health conditions so that my mind doesn't get in the way. I could just tune in and listen. And I type like a speed maniac and and type out two full pages, sometimes three, of email information for them and send it off. And the feedback I get from people is just phenomenal. Well, one recent reading, the lady said she read my reading out to her husband, and she said, we felt like you were just sitting at the kitchen table with us and you knew us so well.
Wow.
So, and I, I've started getting a lot more requests from parents who know that their child needs something different in their diet and are not clear what it is. And so then they come to me and I give them a reading of what their child needs, but also what maybe foods their child is receiving that they're intolerant to.
Mm-hmm. Now, just for our listeners today, on the note of doing readings, hopefully we'll have time to do a couple today, and I'm sure we will, Janet. But the call-in number is 347-237-5339. That's really important to have if you want to call in and get a reading. And we'll just ask that anyone that does call in today to make sure you're in a quiet space, and if you can have your if you're listening via the internet, to turn the volume down on your computer. Otherwise, we'll have the background noise on the phone. And the backup plan, if it is noisy where you are, we can always mute you out while Janet does the reading. Now, Janet, you, when you do your readings, whether they're for children or adults, you there's two methods you use, correct? One is email and one is over the phone. Can you tell us a little bit about the different types?
Yes. A lot of the readings I do, people just send me an email to that email address you provided, which is info@theintuitivenutritionista.com. And then I send them an invoice, and with payment, my fee for email readings at this time is $55.80. And you're getting usually almost an hour of my time. And I then just send you your reading via an email. The person has an opportunity to give me some feedback, which I love, and to know what resonated and what didn't, and if anything didn't, and if they have follow-up questions. Then another option is for people to book an in-person reading, just meaning that we're on the phone with each other. And so in that case, I do a phone reading. We use a free conference service, so the reading is taped, but you're not going to receive anything written because I'm just downloading. I just speak out as it comes to me. But there is an opportunity for, you know, some questions and answers. That, my fee is $88.50. So either option is possible. And then as I bump into people in the grocery store or just out and about, I, you know, sometimes just can't help myself. And I say to the person, I've got this intuitive gift, and I'm getting this really strong thing for you, and I'm just compelled to share it. Would you like to hear it? And we often end up having 10-minute conversations that way just out on the street.
Now, with children, you know, you talk about the different ways that you pick up the information, clairaudient, clairsentient. Is it different with children, Janet, or is it more prominent that the messages come in a certain way when it has anything to do with children, or is it basically the same for whether it's adults or children?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. They're, you know, sweet little beings. They happen to come in a smaller package, but their energy signature and the information I receive is the same, except I receive information about way, you know, the nutrients a child may need, but I receive information about the ways in which you might package that nutrient for a child. You know, for example, if they need to boost their immune system, well, apples are, you know, fantastic. The dark red outer coating of an apple in the skin, particularly if it's a red one, indicates it's really high in anthocyanins. So, you know, the funny thing about an apple is you can have an apple on the in the fruit basket and it won't get eaten for a week. But you wash it and cut that apple up and put it on a plate and leave it out on the kitchen table and it'll be gone in 15 minutes. There's something about an apple being cut. So that might be an example where I'll say to the parent, oh, I'm seeing raw red apples and I'm seeing, you know, cut into the shape of faces, or, you know, I'm seeing a very simple lentil soup for your child and give them some suggestions that I see about how to prepare it, simply that appeals to the palate of a child. You know, children's taste buds are way more sensitive than us as adults. So some of the foods, for example, that are super good for kids, like broccoli and Brussels sprouts, have a lot of sulfur in them. To a child, that can taste extremely bitter. So you take that same vegetable and you cut it in small pieces and you roast it with some olive oil on it, and the starches in the vegetable caramelize and taste quite sweet and delicious. Well, kids will eat Brussels sprouts at my house cooked that way readily, whereas parents will say, oh, no, they won't eat Brussels sprouts. Well, let's try it. Let's try it a different way and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I love how you talk about cutting up the apple. You know, when I was a child, my mother always, to cut up whether it was raw rutabagas or apples or pears or whatever she had on hand, and she'd put it out. And I often think of that because we would eat it. And so now with my 8-year-old Savannah, I do the same thing. And everybody who's ever in the house, whether it's her friends or my spouse or I, you can't help but grab up, some of that food and eat it. So that was a trick I learned from my mother. So I'm glad you mentioned that for our listeners today, because that really is effective. You can have the junk food they seem to find a way to get that made accessible. But if you put the healthy choices right out and available, it's a great way to get those nutrients in the body. Let's talk a little bit more about the immune system. I know my personal belief is working with not only for my own self but with my child, working on keeping that immune system strong, you know, through healthy foods, through positive attitudes, through, you know, loving vibrations, and there's so many different things that we can do to boost that immune system. One of the things I do just personally, and this is just something that I've always done, is I send my daughter to school with an aloe vera juice, which is, you know, full of a lot of phytonutrients. So instead of having milk or juices, she has a juice that has a lot of nutrients in it. And I love to tell the story that she's completing her fourth year of school, and she's never missed one day ever for being sick. So we're pretty proud of that. She's, you know, she's very healthy. If I don't send aloe juice, I might send like a digestive enzyme with a probiotic as a drink. I try to send healthy food, but they swap food, you know, these kids. They're sitting at lunch and they're trading off of this junk no matter how many times you tell them. So I really think it's important that whatever we can do to boost that immune system, and nutrition is obviously the best way. So let's talk a little bit more, Janet, about how we can help our kids through food, through diet, boosting that immune system. We've talked of a few options, but are there any more you could suggest?
Oh, lots. As you were telling the story about sending your daughter with aloe, another one that comes to mind is a lady I know sends her daughter, at my suggestion, to school. She's around the same age as your daughter, sends her to school with her water bottle, and then in her water bottle puts drops of elderberry juice or Sambuca, which is a very powerful dark purple berry, and it's refined and made into a syrup. You can get it with a lot of sugar in it, so you try to select one that, you know, has the absolute minimum of sweeteners, or maybe a sweetened with stevia leaf. But just a few drops of that, very powerful immune booster. So that's one everybody should have a bottle with droppers of, and put some in your own water, and then put some in the water with your kid's drink all through the day. And then if a child or an adult would end up getting a virus, then increasing the dosage and having a quarter of a teaspoon or a half a teaspoon or even a teaspoon of that powerful nutrient is really an amazing booster of anthocyanins. So dark color helps. Dark purple and orange, fruits and vegetables, and dark greens, the more intense the color, the more nutrients in them, the more they boost your immune system. I had someone post something yesterday about she knows she needs more vitamin C, but she tries to stay away from the sucrose because her body's not well tolerating the impact to her blood sugar. So she said, I'm having trouble getting vitamin C. I don't like to take ascorbic acid, which might be genetically modified and is not, she also said that was not well tolerated for her. So she said, what do I do about vitamin C? Well, there is a ton of vitamin C actually in vegetables. And vitamin C is very important for our immune system, and one that we can't make and we can't store. So you really need it every day. So that's something to think about. But dark green vegetables, green peppers, red peppers, extremely high in vitamin C. And also important to recognize that vitamin C disintegrates quickly when the food is stored for a long time or cooked at higher heat, or exposed to air. So to the extent that you can eat the raw veggies, then you get a lot more vitamin C. So red and green bell peppers cut into strips, particularly the red ones, really sweet to a child's palate and to us as adults. So those are also great snacks, vitamin C rich. Leafy greens, spinach, kale, cabbage, sweet potato and white potato both have good source of vitamin C in them. As well as winter squash and broccoli and Brussels sprouts, as I mentioned before. So don't think only, we tend to think that vitamin C only comes in fruits or citrus fruits. It doesn't. It's actually very prevalent in the vegetables that I mentioned. So vitamin C is one. Zinc is another one. I was standing in a line waiting to look at a Navy ship that my husband and I wanted to tour and got standing behind a young couple with two kids. And the second I tuned into the daughter, who was about four, standing in front of us, immediately I got that she was deficient in zinc, which is not surprising because it's another one like vitamin C that you need it every day. Your body can't make it, can't store it, so you need a constant supply. So I kind of waited until the timing was right, and after we'd stood in line together for 3 full hours, and by now the mother and I had, you know, exchanged a lot of eye contact and started kibitzing about, you know, the temperature, and was watching her children fade and suggesting, you know, could we all get some more water and so forth. And then I said, I handed her my card, and I said, I'm intuitive, and I tuned into your daughter and noticed that she's low in zinc. I also saw, after I saw that she's low in zinc, I also noticed her hair was thin. You know, you could see her scalp through the hair. Well, thin hair is a very good indication that zinc is not only low, but it's been low for some time. So then we talked about the foods that are rich in zinc, and she said to me, my daughter doesn't like any of those foods. And I said, ah, well, that might be why she's low in zinc, you know, because those are some of the foods that are richest in zinc. But then we got talking about, for example, pumpkin seeds, and a fantastic source of zinc. Well, pumpkin seeds are very portable. A lot of kids like chewing on a seed. But if a child doesn't have enough teeth yet, you know, they're smaller, you can take pumpkin seeds and you can whiz them up in your little cutter and turn them into dust. Well, now you can sprinkle it on a sandwich they may be eating. Peanut butter has zinc in it. Sesame seeds are an awesome source of zinc. And sesame seed paste, which is tahini, which is like a peanut butter to a lot of children. A lot of parents might not be familiar with it, but it's a really yummy dip. So I said, you know, tahini. She said, yeah, I'm not familiar with it. So I said, you know, go buy yourself a bottle of organic tahini. It's like a peanut butter, and you can dip celery sticks in it. You can smear it on an apple pieces. You can spread it on some gluten-free toast as an example. But kids tend to really like it, and it's extremely high in zinc. You can actually even just dip a spoon, you know, a small teaspoon in, and just let the child lick it off, and they're getting a fantastic dose of zinc that way. So those are a couple of the keys, the foods that I mentioned that are dark purple with the anthocyanins. Orange are big on immune system boosting. You think of oranges, yes, but a lot of the orange vegetables, sweet potato, butternut squash, mango, papaya, other orange vegetables, carrots, particularly if the carrot is raw and cut up in the maximum amount of small pieces. So make a grated carrot salad with cranberries and a bit of organic mayo on it is a lovely, bright, fresh, and extremely immune-boosting salad that kids enjoy.
Anna, what about the tahini? I imagine they could take that to school because that's not it's a seed, not a nut, correct?
It is a seed, sesame seeds, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, if you've got a situation with nut allergies or you're trying to, you know, your school, a lot of schools now are asking students not to bring nuts for the benefit of those students who are highly allergic, then yes, tahini in a sandwich or tahini in a little container that they can dip some apples in. Those are very portable, easy ways to get zinc.
I was thinking of other ways, you know, getting those nutrients into the food. And one of the things I thought while you were talking is perhaps the sweet potato water. If you're cooking the sweet potatoes, you could save that, throw it in a smoothie, put it in maybe if you're making a recipe that calls for liquid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, the water from the bottom of the pot from steaming broccoli or a green vegetable or beets, for example, all very, very high in nutrients that end up coming out into the water.
I really like to take
the pumpkin seeds, whiz them in a little coffee grinder, turn them into dust, and start putting that dust on various things that you cook. If you're making morning oatmeal, you can put that pumpkin seed powder into the oatmeal as you serve it, and now they're getting a super boost of calcium and magnesium and zinc. It's extremely nutrient-rich, pumpkin seeds are, and it's just super way to do it, and no one notices. It goes down easy, and, you know, it's very, very absorbable.
What a wonderful idea. One of the things I do is I take any of the food scraps, you know, if you have those from the broccoli that you're not using the whole stem or whatever it is, and I put it all in a Ziploc bag, and I just freeze whatever scraps I have. So when I go to make a vegetable stock, and I have some nice, good, organic vegetables that I can use for my base. And I know you mentioned on another call, maybe let's talk about this, about not over-peeling and getting overzealous with our fruits and vegetables, that there's a lot of nutrients in the skins and such. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Carrots are a great example. If you buy organic, lovely, local-grown carrots, just wash them off, you know, lightly scrub them. The peels have the vast majority of the nutrients in a carrot are at the peel or just under the peel. So these, you know, manufactured, peeled-down baby carrots that all look cute, well, they look cute, yes, but a lot of the nutrients have been pulled off of them, and they have also been typically processed in some kind of disinfectant, maybe a chlorine bleach water. Well, you know, that doesn't call to me anymore. So take those raw carrots, grate them up with the peels on. You won't notice the difference. You really won't. And once you introduce kids to eating this way, you know, I grew up at the time where, you know, sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were served and the crust was cut off as if somehow, you know, that portion of the food was less desirable. Well, now I don't eat any wheat at all due to the modifications that have been made in it of gluten and the glyphosate that it's grown with. So I just steer clear of all that. But we were in that mentality of there were certain parts of the food that, you know, if it was on the outside and it was tougher, you know, it should be discarded. And as you're doing with your broccoli, sometimes the outer bit of broccoli does tend to be a bit tougher, but when you're saving it that way and then putting it into broth and make a soup with it later, then you're recycling. So that, you know, that works out well. Somehow the body is going to get that in it.
And, you know, it's not having to peel those carrots saves you time. It's more like a fast food, a fast nutrient food, so that works as well. It's all good. So many fun
yes.
ways to, once you start playing with, I always look at it as, how can I get the most bang for my nutrient buck? How, and I don't mean it dollar-wise, but, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, trying to buy healthy for my family I can't afford it. And I'm like, the opposite, I can't afford not to. If I can find any way to get nutrition into a little person's body, because it can be a challenge, I'll go for the highest nutrient content I can somehow squeeze in there.
And a good example of that is, first let me say, there's a great nutritionist called Joel Furman, and there's a great chart that he's got on his site. So if you do a web search for nutrient density chart, Joel Furman, Furman, he's got a great chart, and he's ranked all the vegetables and fruits on a scale of 0 to 1,000, which ones are most dense, have the highest concentration of nutrients in the most bioavailable package. And out of a score of 1,000, kale is number 1,000. And broccoli is about 800, and carrots, I think, are in the 500 or 600 range. And then you get down to, like, milk, and, you know, it's down at about 20 by comparison. So it's really surprising, you know, how much density of nutrients there is in the dark green vegetables. They have vitamin C. They have magnesium and calcium in the perfect balance for our bodies to absorb. So I highly recommend that. And now, of course, I did the little derail, and I've lost my train of thought of what else I was going to mention.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back. What? Go ahead.
Another nutrient-dense food that we're really enjoying in our family that's also super easy to prepare are sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes, although they sound sweet, they actually are lower in a blood sugar glucose impact and much more nutrient-dense than white potatoes. We hardly eat any white potatoes in our house anymore at all, not to mention the fact that white potatoes tend to be grown with very high concentrations of pesticide and have been genetically modified. So we steer to sweet potatoes. You don't have to do anything to cook them. We just put them, we prick them to let the steam out, just wash them off, prick them, and put them in our little toaster oven. And in about 20 minutes, they've caramelized. The kitchen smells fantastic. Now the peels just fall off because that's an example of one that you probably don't eat the peel. And whether it's a three-year-old or even an infant, you know, at 6 months of age and you're introducing some soft orange vegetables, sweet potatoes are just the most luscious food. I just love them. That's another one that's really, truly fast food. How much easier does it get? Exactly. Wash it, prick it in the toaster oven, it goes. And now your vegetable for the family is done for the evening.
Right. You know, you were talking earlier about the elderberry syrup, and I realized I had a jar here, and I never thought to put a few drops in the water. That's an awesome idea. I did get it from a local lady who's actually helps me with Moms for Kids, Courtney. And is there anything to talking about energetic frequency of foods and nutrients? I know, like, it's good to get your honey as local as possible, and I imagine the same with the elderberries or whatever we're working with. Can you touch on that at all, Janet, why it would be more important to try and source your food locally or as close to the source where you are? Is there anything to that?
Absolutely. There's several different things that come into play. And actually, there's a growing worldwide movement called slow food. And slow food, meaning it's grown and raised, hopefully within 15 miles of where you live. And for many people who live in a larger metropolitan area, it might have to be a little further than that just to get out of town. But to have food that's grown near you locally, number one, it gets to you quickly. So the time from the time it's picked to it going in your mouth is really important because a lot of nutrients are time-sensitive, perishable, vitamin C being an example I mentioned before. So, you know, if it's 2 days from picking to in your mouth, it's going to have a much higher level of nutrients than if it's 15 days. So the closer you can get food from the farmer to your table and out of your refrigerator and into your mouth is important. Europe has the tradition of growing foods locally, shopping locally, buying foods even daily, and preparing them. They have smaller homes, and they don't, you know, they don't drive off to a big box store and stock up for 2 weeks of groceries and then bring them home. And when the U.S. and to some extent Canada has, gotten into that pattern, well, the quality of the nutrients and the amount we absorb goes significantly down. So one reason is it gets to you faster. Two is you may know the farmer. You go to a farmer's market, you may get a chance to know the farmer. My husband went and bought some cherries at an organic stand in our local market. Now, these have come a little further. They've come from Washington because cherries don't grow quite as close to our home. But some of them were organic, and some of them the farmer said, we haven't got our 3 years in yet to get our organic status, but they haven't been sprayed for 2 years. And you look them in the eye and you know that that's, you know, you can tell if it's truth or not. And so we supported that farmer and bought some of their cherries that hadn't been sprayed. They weren't using herbicides. While they get, you know, going, they don't yet have the right to call them organic because they haven't met all the criteria. But that was another good example of where you can get that relationship between you and your local farmer. And another is that there's something about the energy and the nutrients that food grown locally is picking up the energies and the minerals in the soil in your area. And there's a lot that's said about people that are in a given climate need to eat the foods that are grown locally and are in season at that time. Nature is pretty smart, and nature tends to provide for its inhabitants what is needed at the right time. So if you're finding right now that you're really hungry for, if you're in the northern hemisphere, berries, maybe strawberries are about done in many areas, but the blueberries and the blackberries are all coming on. The dark red fruits, cherries, and then soon to follow the orange, apricots, nectarines, peaches. If you eat foods that are in season, there's a natural harmony between the food and its energy and its nutrients and what your body needs at that time.
And, you know, it really makes for a delightful palate and a delightful offering. When you think, you know, you look forward to the different seasons as spring, summer, winter, fall, but same thing with food. It's a joy to look forward to you know, now the rhubarb's out or now the blueberries are out, and it makes it exciting, too, I think.
Yeah, and there's a natural calling. In the winter, you know how we tend to like root vegetables and soups, you know, soups with carrots and potatoes in it. Well, that's in harmony with what our body needs, actually, is things that are in cold storage at that time, or apples that are in cold storage through the winter. So notice, people can tune into their intuition more by noticing what's calling to them. And if you take your child in the grocery store while you're shopping, notice what your child is drawn to. That 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old that's going ooh, ooh, and reaching out towards, you know, some apples or something, or their face kind of lights up near a particular section of the produce section. Use that information, because the child is just subconsciously and intuitively being drawn to that food. And if you can watch and pay attention to that, you can help provide for your children more of what they're needing at that time.
Wow, very good. And I love that. Yeah, help your child intuitively know what they're drawn to. And we're going to be talking about that later, because that's something that you're offering, is teaching people how to do that. Janet, we're going to take a short commercial break here, and we'll come back. And I know that you've offered to do a reading for my Savannah, and I'm very excited about that. So we will do that after the break. And also, any callers, if you would like to have a reading for your child, the dial-in number is 347-237-5339. Join us after this short commercial break.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministry Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggnradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggnradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Maggie Holdick here on Blog Talk Radio, Crystal Clear Coaching, and I'm here with my guest, Janet Doerr. Janet, are you back with me?
I am.
Wonderful. So we sure had a impactful and hopefully helpful for our parents and listeners first half of the show. We talked a lot about nutrient-dense foods and some of the ways we can get them into our child's diet and some of the ways to prepare them and really how delightful all these different foods are with their colors and the seasons. And I think making eating and food more exciting and more on the forefront in our daily lives is really something that we should all be making a priority. And I know that you certainly agree with that, Janet. Before we get into readings and some of the other things we're going to be talking about today, is there anything that you want to share with our listeners to feel complete from the first half?
Well, the reminder that when you've got a child, they're building a body. So they're building brains, they're building bones, they're building their neurological system, they're building their skin, their connective tissue. And all of that takes product. It takes minerals. It takes nutrients to do that. So, and children at different ages, they don't tend to eat a lot. Therefore, it's really important that whatever tablespoons go into their body are the things that are the most nutrient dense and have the highest concentration of just exactly what their body needs. So you know, providing them with an Oreo cookie versus giving them some beautiful fresh cherries or berries to chew on, the impact on their body is so profound, the difference, you know, of the blood glucose with the Oreo going up and then them feeling, you know, the blood sugar spike, and then a little bit later they're asking for two more, and then they've got the big crash, and then they're crying, and then they're irritable, compared to providing them with something naturally sweet that doesn't bounce their blood sugar, you know, a piece of cantaloupe or watermelon or some berries, and how wonderful they feel. So it's so, so important to think about what we choose, and that goes for us as adults too. What do we choose to put into our body, and when we eat it, how will we feel? Not just in the moment, oh, I'm getting my sugar high, you know, I so love Oreos. Now I don't touch them because when I put them in my body, I'm so sensitive to how I feel, which is horrible, versus how wonderful I feel if I have some fresh fruit. And that's something that we can really help our children know by just asking them, okay, you just ate this food, how do you feel? If they go off to a birthday party and they're given cake and soda pop or something, and they come home and you say, what did you eat and how do you feel? And the child's going, you know, and they feel awful. When you help them get in tune with that, they start to then get in tune with, oh, sugar and wheat and all that icky sweet stuff really is, you know, making me crazy. I don't feel good. So if you can help the child get in tune with that, they will naturally then be drawn to foods that help them feel better.
Mm-hmm. You know, interesting, I just saw a little picture pop up on Facebook, and it says, people will pay $5 for one drink at Starbucks, but say $5 for a dozen organic eggs is too much. Isn't that crazy? Interesting.
Yeah, we need to review, you know, the cost of eating good food and eating organically compared to the cost of going to the doctor with a child who's now run down, who's gone off to daycare, gone off to school, come home sick, you know, gets the flu, misses, you know, weeks of school and may require antibiotics or something, which then further decimates their, you know, their immune system with wiping out their gut flora. You know, what is the cost of that and that whole medical intervention versus the cost of eating well and taking care of this precious body that we are given to live in?
And not only the cost of the finances, but time and money and energy for the whole family dynamic that incurs, because it's stressful for everyone. Also, you know, I think of that saying too, Janet, if you don't take time for your health, you're going to have to take time to be sick. And I love that one. If you don't make time to be healthy, you're going to have to later make time to be sick. So pick the first choice now. So Janet, so Savannah, can we do a reading for Savannah?
You bet. Well, actually, when you put me on hold, information started flowing in for her. So for the listeners, I know Maggie has a daughter. I've seen her sweet picture, and I know she plays softball, but I've never met her. I haven't talked to her. I don't know anything about her health or anything, although you get some indication listening to Maggie that perhaps there's some, you know, pretty good food going into this child at home. But immediately what came in was turmeric, interestingly enough. And turmeric, I was both seeing the orange color and also inflammation came in. So she has, I did glean that she has just played some softball and, you know, ran and probably slid and fell down and got her share of bumps and bruises. So turmeric would be really helpful for her to help her body kind of cope with the inflammation from that, you know, rough and tumble kind of exercise girl that it sounds like she is. And turmeric is something that, you know, it's curry, it's curcumin, but it can be just put in foods. You could put a little bit into a smoothie and hardly notice it, or you can cook with it. Curries in the Indian population are, it's a food that children and parents consume every day. And a lot of people go, oh, curry, it's a really strong smell. Well, actually, curcumin is extremely mild. It's some of the other spices that are put in curries that give it a more pronounced kind of smell. So turmeric came in for her. And then I got a whole slew of orange foods. I was seeing everything orange, whether it be mangoes and papayas. Again, papaya being an anti-inflammatory food, that's coming in again for her. More vitamin C is showing up for her. So a little more emphasis on vitamin C every day, whether it be fresh lemon or red and green pepper strips. And the green veggies, I'm seeing that she eats them, but more that are less cooked or raw so that more of the vitamin C is bioavailable for her. And then I got a whole bunch of purple foods for her, the berries. But this is just perfect because purple foods are coming into season with the berries. So continue to have her munching on those. They can go on cereal. They can just be eaten in a bowl. They can be just finger food, or they can be turned into a gluten-free dessert with berries. It's so wonderful to just cook the berries, heat them up with just a little bit of honey, and then put that in an oven-baked bowl, and then put a little bit of gluten-free mix onto it with a little egg and cook it so that you got just a little tiny bit of cobbler on top of this beautiful berry dessert. Everybody that we serve that to loves it, and I'm seeing that that would be yummy for your daughter. Then I also see that she's low in zinc, and I'm getting that she may have some, I won't necessarily call them full-fledged allergies, but a little more sensitivity to pollen and grasses as she gets out running around in the fields. I'm seeing that there's some sensitivity to that. So more zinc. Zinc is actually good not only for colds, but also for a child that has allergies or asthma, and I'm not saying she's to that level. I do see a little bit of sensitivity in her breathing, but just generally for anyone else who's listening, if you have a child that has allergies or asthma, it's a very good indication that they are also not getting enough zinc. So also for your sweet little one, the tip I gave about the pumpkin seeds and into powder and put it in everything, whether it's a smoothie or morning oatmeal. What else do I get for her? I see she could use more vitamin B12, which good for brain and good for concentration in chicken, in organic eggs, and in mushrooms. For those people who are vegetarian, mushrooms like a cremini mushroom, the brown ones, do have or a reasonable source of vitamin B12. So those were some of the things that came up. How does that fit with?
Yeah, it's wonderfully. Can I ask a question, and maybe the listeners are wondering too, with pumpkin seeds, is there anything that we should be looking for when we're buying them?
Well, I choose mine raw. I try to get organic if I can get them. But a main thing with all the nuts and seeds, whether it's raw almonds or cashews, is they have an anti-nutrient in them. Nature intended for them to sprout, to not sprout when they're just laying around, and rather to sprout when they're in the ground planted in a moist and slightly acidic environment. And in that environment, then the nutrients in it become bioavailable for the seed so it can grow its tree. But that's also true for us as humans. So you can radically ramp up the bioavailability of the calcium, magnesium, and other minerals in your nuts and seeds by soaking them first for 24 hours just in water, and you change the water about every 8 hours, and then put them back in the oven on cookie trays at 100 degrees, no higher, or if you have a food dehydrator, and then dry them out again. And just the difference between soaking them, I should add a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. That's the acid that you want. So the water is slightly acidic. And that converts the nutrients. Basically, the little seed says, oh, I'm starting to sprout. And you may actually see with your almonds at the end of 24 hours a little tiny tail coming out, or with your pumpkin seeds. They don't actually have to sprout visibly. But if you give them that 24 hours of soaking, rinse them off really well, and then dry them out, the ability of your body to now take in and use the nutrients in that seed is hands down way more effective than, I don't know what the numbers are, but at least twice as bioavailable. And if not, there remains in the seed something called phytic acid, which actually inhibits the absorption of the nutrients in it. So that would be the tip that I would offer.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Now, Janet, and for our listeners, Janet has an exciting course. I don't want to run out of time. I want to make sure that we talk about that because so many people are excited about this. Everyone's wanting to take better charge of their health, learning how to know what's right for their own body. So I want to talk a little bit about the course coming up. For our listeners, if you'd like to follow along, we have a couple of websites you can go to. One of them is just to watch a great video about eating intuitively and signing up to receive any information that Janet and I have going on in regard to all of this conversation. You go to www.followyourwings, wings as in the wings on a bird, followyourwings.com. And Janet's offer that she's going to talk about is janet.followyourwings.com. So if you want to, I'm sure we don't have time to go through the whole program, but if we can touch on it and you can get all of the details there when you have time to really absorb it, you can do it then. But let's have Janet tell us a little bit about what we have coming up or what she has coming up.
Well, I've realized that the skills that I've acquired, my ability to eat intuitively myself, and then ultimately it progressed to me being able to apply my intuition and intuitive skills to see others what they need, is something that I know how I learned it, and it's teachable, and it's something anybody can learn how to do. So I put this course together called 6 Steps to Intuitive Eating. It's coming up starting on Wednesdays on July 16th, and the course will help you activate your health codes. We do have some dormant DNA, and it's not junk DNA, and it can be turned on. So some of that quote-unquote junk DNA, some of that DNA can be turned on, and some of it is some of the ability of us to turn on our abundant health. Our bodies actually were always intended to be in a healthy state, and we can turn that back on. So it will help you activate your health codes and turn on what I call your onboard health guidance system. If you like to think about it, it's like a GPS, a goddess positioning system or a god positioning system for the fellows listening. So I call it my health guidance system. So the course will be 4 weeks long, and it will take everyone through the 6 steps to intuitive eating, which will it will be presented over the web by internet with a call-in option, and it will go through the steps, and there will be some practice and exercises, a meditation to take people to creating the vibrant health state that they wish to create, and get people out of the catch, which is if you're in the catch of feeling like that you're solving health problems, then your body will continue to bring you problems to solve. So rather, if you bring yourself not to be fixated on some health condition, oh, I have a pain here, and you know, what can I do to make that pain go away? Well, you may receive some guidance there, but rather if you visualize yourself being healthy, being vibrant, being able to walk up and down a flight of stairs without losing your breath, for your child to be allergy-free, for your child to be able to breathe easily, for your child to be able to go run down the street and not have an asthma, you know, kind of gasp at the end. These are all examples of visualizing and setting in place the state that you wish to receive. Because a very important part of life is figuring out what do we actually want to create. So the course will take people through how to prepare the I am statements. Not, I need to lose some weight, which actually means I lack to lose some weight. It's actually just a statement that I'm sitting here and I'm a little chubby and I'm overweight. It actually doesn't create the outcome we want, which is, you know, by contrast, I am my healthy, perfect weight. So in the course, I teach people how to establish and identify and write very clearly these I am statements, which describe the healthy state that they wish to receive. And then some of the other things that people will go through, and there's some some skills to doing that, then to start asking questions. So what would it take for me to increase my strength if I'm saying I am strong or I am able to walk up that flight of stairs and when I get to the top I'm still breathing clearly and strongly and I'm not winded? What would it take for that to be put into place? When you ask that question out loud and you're open to receiving, then solutions start to show up. So I'll help have people learn how to ask the right questions to get the answers, to receive the guidance, and how to listen to their body. We'll talk about muscle testing and some various ways that you can learn to discern the difference between foods that will help you thrive and foods that will leave you feeling deprived. Some foods are going to make you feel light and others heavy, and that's one of the things in muscle testing that I'll teach, how to tune into your body and get that information. Week three, we're going to talk more about following the energy, and this is that once you say, I am my perfect healthy weight, or I am strong, or I am in vibrant health, and you've got a clear focus on what you want to achieve, and then you start asking questions like, what would it take for something to show up, or what would it take for the perfect, easy exercise routine for me to show up? Then now you need to follow the energy, and you will be led to the answers. There's a universal law called what is asked is given. So if you ask for help and if you ask a question like that, it's a universal law that you will be brought a solution. And you don't have to necessarily go search for it, but you do have to follow the energy. So what that, I'll teach more about that, but what that will mean, for example, is you see an email that you receive and it's kind of calling on you to you to click it, well, click it. And then when you get there and you kind of go, what am I to see here? Then all of a sudden your eye may be attracted to an ad over on the right-hand side and it's kind of yelling at you. And you click on it and it may be the perfect 15-minute, three-time-a-week exercise routine that you were looking for that you can fit into your busy schedule. So learning to follow the energy. Random people will talk to you on the street and you'll start a conversation and they'll tell you something about what they're taking for their joint pain, devil's claw, South African herb, and you're going, wait a minute, I have some joint pain. That was an answer for me. So learning how to listen and know that the universe actually will bring you many messengers in many ways to give you solutions for exactly what you're looking at. And then week four, there will be an exercise that people will do between week three and week four, and I'll send them out on a quest, and they'll go through a grocery store, and they're to write down those 10 foods or nutrients or herbs that are calling to them, and write down five that their body's saying, ooh, do not use this, do not eat this, stay away from this. In between the week three and four, I'm going to tune in to every individual person who signs up for the course, and I'll do a reading of the top five nutrients or foods that they need, and I'll send it to them by email. So in week four, they'll be able to compare my reading with their own research that they've done. And if they're open and they're listening and they're paying attention to their body, which we will have worked on for weeks, I fully expect that there will be a strong correlation between what I see and what they were starting to see in themselves. And that validation that their own intuition is turning on and is working is so powerful. So in each of these sessions, which will be about an hour and 15 minutes, they could go to an hour and 30 minutes each week. I will also take callers and do food readings for people, lead the guided meditation, and there will be bonuses, which will include a copy, an MP3 copy of the guided meditation, so a person can listen to that again and keep focused on what is the health, vibrant state of health they wish to create. And then there will be some PDFs with some of my favorite resources and links and what your food cravings mean, some of the fun things that will help you listen to your body. So all of that I've put together. It's over for what would be the equivalent of a personal reading and the MP3 guided meditation and PDFs. It's a value of almost $500, $495. We've discounted it 80% to just $97. So I'm really excited about the program, and I know it will be a gift for me to present it, but also a gift to everyone who gives themselves the yes and chooses to purchase it and participate.
Yes, and Janet, I want to thank you because you are offering this at such an amazing value. I'm all about, in my life coaching, is helping to empower people so that they can use their own discernment. They can learn the skills. They can listen to their intuition. And this is what you're teaching. You're teaching people for $97 not just to have a reading done by you, which they will get as a bonus, the top five foods, but that they'll learn how to do this. And I think that's just so wonderful, and I think it's so wonderful of you to offer this. So I certainly hope that people take advantage of this. It's an amazing offer. I know it's an introductory offer, so if they don't take advantage of it now, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have it again. I don't know, but I would say act now because it is limited, I believe, to 100 spots. Is that correct?
Yes. In order for there to be more opportunities for people to call in and receive a reading, and for me to do the personal readings, I had to cap it at 100 in order to be realistic about the amount of personal time I'm providing people.
Yes, and I know from the registrations we've had so far, people are jumping on board. So if you're at all interested, don't wait. Register now. You can go to www.janet.followyourwings.com. Janet, thank you so much for the reading for Savannah. I really appreciated that. I will take note of it and incorporate more of those foods, and I'll let you know how that goes, and I'll have Savannah help me with that as she listens to her own intuition. I know one of the things that you and I talked about that we didn't quite get to, but I do want to take a minute just as an extra bonus for our listeners, is to talk about bedtime and calming down before bed. We're coming to the end of our call. We're calming down. We're bringing it all in for a wrap, but can you touch just a little bit on that? I really want our listeners to hear what you have to say on that.
Thank you. I'm pretty passionate about the need of the body to come to quiet. Before the advent of artificial lights and then the bombardment that's happening of our bodies, and for the children, their poor little bodies being bombarded with television and iPads and iPhones and so forth, all of that is sending signals to their body. Bing, 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 bing. And it puts their whole body in a state of agitation. So it's so important. Turn the TV off an hour before the child needs to go to bed. For everyone, for the whole house, see what happens. Turn the lights down a little bit. Put on some soft music. Maybe use that opportunity for a bath. If the child is still quite excited and bouncing around, you know, you've got a toddler and they just can't seem to quiet them down, take them outside and put their bare feet on the lawn or in contact with the earth. Then come back in, give them a little foot bath, and just watch what happens. Just 10 minutes of barefoot contact with the earth to get that grounding energy coming up through their little bodies. It's calming. It lowers heart rate. It lowers cortisol, which is, you know, that keeping them ramped. And if it's dark already by the time you're out there, it also takes them away from the artificial light and increases their body's ability to turn on melatonin, all of which will put in a calming state. You can also get lavender essential oils, dilute it with more carrier oil like jojoba or coconut oil, and put a dab on the bottoms of their feet. All of these things, it can be diffused in the room that they're in. A tiny bit of it for a child, it needs to be a very small amount. A tiny bit of it could be placed in their bath water. All of these things are dramatically calming. So it just makes me crazy when I hear, you know, children or I see it and they're, you know, punching an iPad and they've got a television going on in their room, and then all of a sudden, you know, parents are saying, well, it's bedtime. It was bedtime an hour ago. I don't understand why they're staying up so late, you know, and you can't calm them down. It is because their little bodies are being bombarded with electromagnetic radiation, which is affecting their very being. So try it for yourself as well. Try it for your children. Notice the difference, and we will be able to put ourselves in a place of more restfulness and readiness to go to sleep by allowing some time for that unwinding.
Yeah, wonderful. And another thing I want to add, because this is a passion of mine, is the radiation from cellular phones. When I see, often I'll see parents and they're trying to entertain the baby or the toddler, and they're like, oh, call grandma, or they're giving them the phones and they're putting them to their ears, and I just cringe. We know that the child's brain is not developed. I think it's up to the age of 7. They shouldn't even be near a cell phone. There's been studies done now. So that's another thing. And sometimes parents just aren't aware. So I know myself, and I think you and I have talked, Janet, that when we put a cell phone to our ear, we can actually feel the frequencies, and it doesn't feel good. So,
yeah, I can feel the radiation. I can literally feel it cooking my brain. So I keep my cell phone off, actually. I use it when I have to. But if someone calls me, then it's like, take a message, I'll call you back on a landline. I would like to say one more thing, and that is at night, our bodies are trying to grow new cells. And there were 5 Danish teenagers, 8th graders, who noticed that when they slept in their room with their cell phone next to their bed, that the next day they felt more agitated, they didn't sleep as well, and they weren't able to concentrate. So they had to come up with a science project. So they did a science project, and they put seeds from plants. They put seeds in a room where there was a wireless router, and they put them in another bedroom of their home where there wasn't a wireless router. And each of these 5 students did it. The seeds in the rooms where the wireless router was did not even sprout. And in the rooms where they were away from that signal, they did sprout. So when you think of your children, you want them sprouting. We all need to use that time to regenerate and grow and create new cells and repair our bodies. If we're sleeping with our cell phone, which many people use as their alarm clock, within 10 inches of their head, they're just being bombarded all night long. So if you have to use your cell phone for your alarm clock, turn the airplane mode on so that the phone is actually off, and now it's only an alarm clock. But, of course, the preference is get yourself a little plain old, you know, old-fashioned alarm clock or a little digital travel alarm clock. Use one of those for your alarm clock. Get the cell phones off cold, you know, not on your body as much as possible, and watch the difference in how you feel.
Yes, and I often think of, you know, the ear canal. Here we are pushing it to our head. There's a direct opening right to the brain. It's so obvious. It's, you know, ridiculous, actually. Anyway, yes, Janet, thank you so much. Those are some great tips. And I think I posted that study you just mentioned about the grade 8 students or 9 or whatever they were on my Facebook page, if anyone's interested. For it's called Wellness Collaboration. So it's facebook.com/wellnesscollaboration, and you can find it there. So thank you so much, Janet. I look forward to taking the workshop with you. Thank you for offering it. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for Savannah's reading. And I'm going to leave you and our listeners and hope that everyone has a wonderful rest of the week. Bye for now, and we'll see you. We'll be on the show in 2 weeks with Gary Savitsky, will be my special guest. You'll hear more about him, and I'll be posting a show description soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.